All we need to be able to do is to point to what is going on around us and say, see, that's not me. That's God at work.
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a Reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 at the corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Today's sermon is from January 19th, 2020, and in it, Pastor Keith recounts his discoveries at Ancestry.com and found that he had a number of grandfathers who had served God many years ago, including his eighth grandfather, Auguste Hermann Frank, a pastor who was Lutheran's forgotten hero. He had a postage stamp with his likeness. There's a room dedicated to him at one of the big Lutheran museums in Germany, and he championed the poor at his parish in Halle, Germany. To continue the story, here's Pastor Keith.
And there he became intensely concerned for the poor, especially poor children, many of whom had been orphaned or left with only one parent because of the 30 years' war and its devastating, long-lasting effects. Every week, August and his wife would hand out groceries to children who gathered on their doorstep. But he soon realized that running a food pantry wasn't enough. He saw the link between the lack of education and the lack of spiritual formation and the children's grinding cycle of poverty. He and his wife, after much prayer and troubling of conscience, decided to take four of these orphaned children into their own home. And within a few short years, that simple act of kindness had turned into a full-blown ministry to orphans. And then he felt called to start a program for seniors and started one of the first retirement homes in the world for the elderly poor. And he included adult learning classes for them. And then he added night classes for the working poor because he realized that they couldn't get an education because they were laboring all day. And then he added an institution of higher learning for these folks that taught Latin and modern languages and the natural sciences. And within only 15 years, that orphanage had over 2,000 resident students and 100 teachers, and laboring on the same campus were almost 1,000 workers, and all of this was housed in the largest building in Germany that existed at that time. And then he went on to establish a hospital, residences for widows and the elderly, a laboratory for the development and production of pharmaceuticals that were used not only to treat the poor, but were also sold to fund the ministry, a publishing company for religious literature and scripture, schools for the children of the nobility, the middle class, and the poor, where they studied side by side, continuing education for those who had never received an education, a missionary training school. He ended up with 26 different schools in all. And out of this grew the German public school system, which is why he got a postage stamp. The printing ministry printed 100,000 German Bibles and 80,000 New Testaments just between 1712 and 1719, and within 100 years, they had printed 2 million Bibles and 1 million New Testaments at a time when printing presses were operated by hand. And the Franca Foundation remains the largest charitable and educational foundation in Germany to this very day. Now, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this not because I want to brag about how important my ancestor was, but rather because I want to point out, I want to point to the powerful way that simple ministries can explode into something that no one would ever expect. And they do it by Bible study, prayer, and faith that God will do what God has promised to do. Franca wrote many books, one of which contained his description of how the orphanage came to be. And he recounts that finances were very tight, especially at the beginning. And from one week to the next, he had no clue where money was going to come from. But somehow, God kept providing. He tells this story when the building of the orphanage was going on. He said, about Michaelmas, end of September, we were again reduced to great need. But the weather was so fine and invigorating that it gladdened my heart. And I felt like even exclaiming how good it is to have nothing and to rest entirely on God and His constant providence. I was entirely confident that a way would be open to us out from our place of need and felt perfect repose in my spirit. The master mason who had come once before to inquire whether I had any money to pay off the workmen and had asked, "Is anything come yet?" I answered, "No, but I have faith in God." Scarcely had I said the word when a student came to me with $30 in his hand, which he said had come from a donor who wished his name to remain unknown. I went at once to the master workman and asked him how much money he needed to pay off the men. He answered, $30. "Have you no need of more?" I asked. "No." I told him then how wonderfully God had remembered us, providing just the sum needed. And the incident served for the strengthening of his faith as well as my own. Now, the book I'm quoting from is called Faith's Work Perfected. The entire book is focused not on recounting the wonderful things my grandfather had accomplished, but instead recounting story upon story of what God had done. All of the surprising things, both great and small, that had come together to make something happen that was beyond anything that anyone, including my grandfather, could have imagined at the beginning. And his purpose in telling the story was to stand and to point, not to himself, but rather to stand with wonder and awe. And point to those things that had occurred and say, "See, this isn't about me. This is the Spirit of God at work." Today's gospel reminds us that this life of faith is not about us. And it's certainly not about pointing to ourselves and saying, "Look at the great things I've accomplished." Rather, like John the Baptizer, and like those very first disciples, our job is to point to Jesus and to identify for others where we suspect that the Spirit of God is present and at work in our lives, and then to name that for one another and for others, to tell the stories of what we have experienced. We don't have to understand everything about who Jesus is. And we certainly do not need to be able to give lengthy arguments about why others should believe in Jesus. All we need to be able to do is to point to what is going on around us and say, see, that's not me. That's God at work. This is about Jesus. This is about God's Spirit active in the world today. Take a moment and look at the words of today's psalm. That psalm is all about telling the story and pointing to God as the actor. Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they're more than I can count. And I have not hidden your righteousness in my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your deliverance. I have not concealed your steadfast love and truth from the great assembly. I believe with all my heart that God has great plans for Emmanuel. Great plans that aren't about me, that aren't about any one of us, but rather about what the Spirit of God is doing here among you and is going to do in the future. I earnestly believe that my task here among you, more than anything, has been to point to Jesus Christ, to encourage you, to look around you and notice the ways that God is already working in your life and in the world around you, and to urge you to tell those stories and to point to God's gracious action. And I believe that out of that pointing to what God is already doing and telling our stories to one another, that you will unleash enormous power in this place. Power that might astonish you in how even simple ministries and actions can grow. I am thrilled that a number of you have begun gathering to tell your stories to one another on Sunday mornings. I have also noticed that individuals are becoming more and more comfortable with telling your stories of the day-to-day encounters that you have had with God's Spirit. We need much, much more of this. And I think you will benefit greatly from the same approaches that my grandfather stumbled on 400 years ago. Bible study, prayer in small groups, where you tell your stories and where you help one another make the connections between the good news of Jesus and the needs of our neighbors. Earnest prayer that God will act. Sharing of your stories of how you see God acting, and then developing the trust that in spite of our small size, that God is going to provide if you will simply step out and do something for the good of your neighbor, no matter how small it may seem. Wait patiently on the Lord. God will always find a way to redeem. My eighth great-grandfather knew that it is when we stop and point away from ourselves, when we stop and name where we see God's Spirit moving in both the extraordinary and the ordinary events of our lives, and share those insights with one another, when we remind one another that God's activity in the world did not stop in the days of Jesus of Nazareth, but continues in power today, that is when even greater things begin to come about. God has great plans for Emmanuel that might seem hard to imagine today. But sisters and brothers, keep praying, keep studying, keep working, and above all, keep pointing others to the Lamb of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.